B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
610-632-0975. Tyler and Bluebell is on the Fanatic. Hey, Ty.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, brother?
Good. Hey, you know, I'm going to be in the minority here, but I didn't really get the moves over the weekend. I've been trying to talk myself into them, but, you know, I just can't. And it's a couple of reasons here. One, I thought Ben played his best ball last year. If you notice, when Joel wasn't in the game, you know, whether he'd be injured or you know, taking some rest, the lane was wide open, and he was more aggressive in games like that, and I think it kind of let his game flow a little bit better and attack the rim a little bit more. So I didn't really get the Horford mood. I think he became a little bit more clunky and clogs the lane a little bit more there. I think he will be a good big man for us when Joel does take some rest nights, but overall, 33 years old and we're giving him 4 years, and I think we overpaid, but, you know, that's just me. And then, you know, last year, everyone kept saying, let's run it back. And then we essentially kind of gut our starting lineup, Jimmy didn't want to re-sign, but not re-signing JJ. And, you know, all of a sudden, you're kind of jeopardizing, you know, floor spacing for this new lineup, you know, and we're putting it.
See, the only thing is, let's discuss it, because I hear you. Everything you say is valid, brother. Everything you say has a really good point to it. But let's take it for Horford can step out and he can shoot a three. So
sure.
you still have sure. that stretch there. Tobias will really be your face the basket threat, and we've seen him do that. Remember in the playoffs, they ran the offense through him at times as well as Jimmy. So he did that. I do think you'll be surprised in a good way about Josh Richardson. Have you watched him play a lot?
You know what? I did not see him play a lot last year. I've obviously been researching him more now that we've signed him. But, I like him. I got to admit, I like him. I think he kind of gives you what you lost with Jimmy.
I think he's a better three-point shooter than Jimmy. So,
you might be right.
And he's not good. Now, obviously, Jimmy's a better player, so I'm not going to sell that. But Jimmy's a better player, but I think Richardson gives you more three-point shooting, and I think he's kind of Jimmy light. Right? I'm with you with JJ. I wish he would have re-signed, you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think we were just so close last year that I was disappointed that we decided to kind of get so drastic with the off-season moves. And I guess, mainly disappointed that we kind of gave Jimmy an easy out. Like, I think we're in the era now where we're just kind of giving these guys what they want instead of saying, guess what? If you want the most money, you're going to stay here whether you like it or not. And, you know,
except I gotta tell you honestly, Ty, they didn't offer him a contract. Whatever that dude Haberstroh reported, I don't believe it. I disagree with that.
Yeah,
think what Woj said, right? Woj, who I trust and know, he said that the Sixers did not offer him a 4-year deal, and you're going to tell me that he's not taking a 5-year max? I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. You're probably right. So, but I don't know. I guess we'll see if Tobias is a max deal guy. That's another thing that irks me a little bit. Like, you know,
he's
gonna be a big year.
Yeah, he may never become like what you would look at as a max guy. But to the Sixers, and in this situation, you got to overpay. That's when guys are free agents in sports, you got to overpay. It's why, and I say this all the time, and I think this is true in just about every sport. Teams that win championships and are a team that is in the mix to win multiple titles never do it by building their team through free agency. Look at every sport. What did they do to get there? They drafted and developed. That's the way it works. The Sixers, if they're going to win championships and do it for be in that mix for an extended period of time, it's going to be because of they drafted Ben Simmons and they drafted Joel Embiid and they developed them into great players. That's the way you do it. Same thing in baseball. Like, teams that go out, now some teams in baseball, it's a little different because there's no salary cap, and you can just go out and buy a championship like the Marlins did way back when, right? But in the NBA, in the NFL, you got to draft well in the NFL and you can supplement with free agents, but you get out of whack with free agents. I saw the quote the other day. Somebody tweeted out and said, you know, they asked a general manager, what are you trying to do today? It was the day before free agency. He said, I'm trying to get out of bad contracts that I signed players to so that tomorrow I can give out more bad contracts to players that I need.
Yeah, you know.
It's like the theory, yeah. You know.
Listen, I understand everything that Tyler said. I just think, now again, I'm putting the emphasis on two guys, right? Like, I think Tobias has another level.
Another gear.
Now, I heard Mikey miss. In fairness, Mikey thought, he's probably at his max. And, like, he could be right. We'll see. You know, now that, like, he got paid the max, this is his team. It's like, yo, dude.
He is 26.
Like, you're going. You know, you've been traded everywhere. Mm-hmm. Here's your home. You got a stake now. Let's go. So there's an onus on him for that. Obviously, I'm putting a lot into Josh Richardson to shoot some threes. And I like the length that they have.
See, the difference is, and Tobias will be 27 coming up in about 13 days. But that being said, you look at a guy and go, okay, he's that age right now, then he probably is what he is. But situations change how a player can perform as well. The situation for Tobias just changed in a big way. And for the first time, he's putting roots in where he's going to be somewhere for a long period of time.
Let's face it.
Same thing with Richardson.
The other thing, too, you know, it was a tough place for him last year for Tobias to kind of mesh in.
Yeah.
But you're coming in here, you got... It's a difficult, like Ben Simmons makes it a difficult proposition to build, yeah. Right? Because Ben is so unique. Yeah, you know, 6'11 point guard that is not a shooter. So, you know, that's a facilitator first. That's a different type of dude that you got to build around. Right? That's, you know, it could be your advantage because of his size and where you're going to play him. But it's difficult to make sure the build.
Distributor.
Now you add Embiid, who's this freakish talent, right? Mm-hmm. Amazing talent, who could play both high block and low block and face the basket.
Yeah. Shoots the three great for a man.
Right, so you had that kind of, which is another unique type of talent. Then you had Butler in the mix, you know, JJ in the mix. So if you're Tobias Harris, it's a tough spot to come walk in and assimilate quickly.
Yeah, getting there at the trade deadline. One of the guys that's still out there is Boogie Cousins, and Woj had something to say about his future. Originally, he was looking for a big-time payday. Now he might be just looking for a job.
Is there a market for him? There's not a market for him, Scott. And I think and it's not. I think he thought, he hoped, some big market teams would strike out, that have cap space. He could get a one-year, $12, $15, $18, $20 million deal.
It's not there?
That's not happening. I don't even know if there's the mid-level exception he got in Golden State last year. I don't think that's there for him.
Wow. That's crazy. Right?
The mid-level exception.
9.6.
Well, why would the Knicks? I guess they don't even.
They don't want to win.
They want to tank.
Yeah. So, they don't, you know, that's a bad spot
for them. A shame, though, for Boogie.
That's crazy how fast that, in the 2 years that he's had.
I don't know, but there's something about him that I don't like.
Oh, really?
Bad taste?
I don't know what it is. There's something about him. I'm not a fan.
Dynamic player, though, when he's healthy.
Yeah, no, listen, he's a great player.
Yeah.
He is a great player.
There's not a mid-level for him.
There's something about him, though, that I don't know. That's crazy. How come the Lakers won't take him?
Maybe they will.
Him and Anthony Davis.
Wow. Crazy.
Right? You go back to it?
Yeah. Did in New Orleans.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's still another big body that you could put, you pair with Anthony Davis.
Well, he signed really late last year, 1 year, $5 million, right?
Yeah. But how come Boston wouldn't, I think Boston would be a spot for him, though?
Well, they're probably going to wait till he gets desperate and will take less money.
Well,
I mean, he's saying they're not even going to market for a mid-level exception for him right now. He took the $5 million last year because he was on Prove It. Coming off the injury.
He didn't improve it because he got hurt.
Yeah. Well, I guess usually teams are willing to take a risk on a player with that kind of upside. That's pretty stunning.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. That is the number. And we got some open lines if you'd like to jump on board. Again, coming up in about 8 minutes, we're going to give you a little re-air. Some portions of the Charles Barkley interview that Mikey Miss did yesterday. He had some very interesting things to say.
Yeah, great interview.
Bullish, too. bullish on the Sixers.
I love Charles. He's fired up.
Oh, I do too. He's the best. So stay tuned. That's on the way. And your phone calls at 610-632-0975. Cuz to tell you about the Bagster.
Oh, the Bagster bag. What am I going to put in the Bagster?
Do you want to put Jimmy in the Bagster now?
That magazine from Jimmy Butler?
Nah.
Andre's Poshest Knicks?
We're rolling, though.
You want to go talk about Gabe in the Bagster?
Jonah Bolden is still a Colangelo guy.
Yeah, we got one.
Oh, yeah.
So BC still exists here.
So let's put him in the Bagster. Let's put Bolden and BC in the Bagster.
No, man. Leave him alone. He's already hiding in Transylvania.
I come to suck your blood.
So whatever you got, you can put in the bag. What do you want to put in the Bagster, Nat? Nat, you got somebody?
Put the mosquitoes
Can I put humidity into the Bagster?
Yeah, all right.
Oh, Nat's bamboo plant that they threw out yesterday.
Oh, yeah, my bamboo plant, Trevor.
That goes in the Bagster.
Is in the Bagster.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got rid of it?
Well, Ty made me throw it out. Well, it's Mike and Ty's fault.
What, so you bought the bamboo. You believed you were bamboozled.
I was very bamboozled. And then on Friday, I didn't bring it into the studio. So Mike said on the air, if they lose tonight, it's your fault, Nat, because you brought it into the studio Thursday and they won and not Friday. So then the
it's like the hat.
Yeah, it's exactly like the hat. So
yeah. All right. I'll put the what's the name of the
plant? His name is Trevor.
Trevor's in the Bagster. Say goodbye, Trevor. The Bagster bag can handle any job, including Trevor. That's right. I love the product. 3 cubic yard dumpster in a bag. Sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores everywhere for just $29.99. You clean out the garage, you clean out the attic, maybe do some little remodeling. Whatever it is, the Bagster can take it on. You buy it, fill it, and schedule your collection, and poof, it's gone. So if you're doing home projects or you're a pro like my boy Marco, who's a great contractor, it can handle 3,300 pounds of waste. Go to thebagster.com. Find the store near your shoe for more details. This is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in the back.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Man, he's looking good, man. What's up, Bob?
By the way, after Charles.
Yeah.
Tyrone believes Jimmy was offered a 5 and a 4 and said no.
Yeah,
you
know.
Boys might have to have it out.
Listen.
I'm stirring the pot today. It's my turn.
Listen. We already talked about that. We talked about it yesterday.
I'm going to stir the pot. Usually you're over there with the big spoon stirring.
Listen, that's between you and Mike. You and Mike, it's that's the pot that's interesting.
Excuse me.
Me and Ty, no. And listen. We already disagreed.
You agreed to disagree?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, Ty, God bless him, inherited from someone. I'm sure it's very good, but I'm sure using Ty to get his spin out, and I know otherwise.
I love the way you put it. I know otherwise.
Ty, listen, that's my man.
Yeah.
So, there's no pot here.
I'll have to find a new pot to put you guys in to stir. What I know...
It's more fun when it's you... And Mike.
Yeah, of course, for you.
Andrew, Tunis, is it not a blast?
Well, yeah, because it takes you back to when you guys were together.
No, but the two of them, the dynamic between the two of them, isn't it not awesome?
Yes, I think it is awesome.
See, I think a lot of people think that, you're right. But the difference is that neither Mike thinks that nor I think that. The two people that get put in the pot don't think that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess you're probably right, huh?
me and Mike, we should. So I'll agree to something. Like, you come up with like five issues that you know that me and Mike are on the opposite side of one of these slow summer days, and we'll go. We'll debate those five issues.
Hockey.
Baseball,
hockey.
And we have a bonus category. It's baseball. What I do know is this, though. When Charles Barkley comes on, it's great. And he was on yesterday.
Yeah.
With Mikey Miss. Here's Charles and Mikey Miss from yesterday. A little snippet for you.
The Hall of Famer, Charles Barkley. Hello, Charles.
Damn, Elton Brand. What a job well done.
Look at you, man. You're all about the Sixers right now.
Well, you know, I've been all in on the Sixers for the last couple of years. I knew they were going to be contenders. And I tell you what, I love the two moves they made. Like I say, I think, you know, Brooklyn obviously had a good day. But the Sixers had the second best free agent today in the NBA. I think everybody's – I've been watching and listening. I've been on the radio a lot today.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody agreed. The Sixers, other than Brooklyn – but Brooklyn, you can't even check. You know how Kevin's going to come back in a year. But as far as players being available now, the Sixers had the best day in free agency.
Wow. Do you believe the Sixers have made themselves the NBA championship favorite with these deals?
Yeah.
You do?
I do. I think they – if you think about it. They're better than last year, and they just added two proven players, and you assume that Joel's going to stay healthy and get in shape, and you assume that Ben's going to improve. Listen, I have seen no doubt why the Sixers will not be the favorites. Because think about it. They played within a basket of beating Toronto, and they're better. And you got to assume, like I say, Joel's going to get in shape and be able to play the whole series and not one game, two game, three game, like that. And you got to assume at some point somebody in Ben's camp say, yo, man, you can't shoot. We got to get in the gym. I mean, we getting ready. You know, you're the face of the Sixers, and you're going to be one of the faces. You got to go in the gym. You got nothing to do for the next 4 months. Just go in the gym every day and shoot 1,000 shots.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that he will come back shooting the basketball? Because I find it hard to believe that. And I mean, he's known this for so long. What makes you think now this is the offseason that he finally gets it?
Well, at some point, you got to be embarrassed. You know.
But he's not.
Well, listen, I like Ben Simmons. I don't know him that well. I should say that. At some point, you got to get embarrassed. And like, yo, man, you don't even look at the basket. I mean, at some point as a player, you got to look in the mirror and say, what can I do to get my team better? What can I do to get our team better? And listen, I don't think it can be Brett Brown. I don't think it can be Elton Brand. It should be one of your friends. Your friends need to say, yo, man, you got to work on your game. I mean, I've been in the NBA for over 30 years. You know, I always said, you know, the most important person. See, we don't have these old guys on the team. Because look, you look at Ben. Who's the oldest guy on the team? J.J. Redick, who's gone. I'm pretty sure J.J. didn't get in his ass and say, yo, man, come in the gym and shoot with me every day. You know, Mike, when I came here in 1984, Moses Malone, who's the most important person in my career, said, yo, dude, you're fat and you're lazy. You know, and he said, you're fat and you're lazy. Moses made me lose 50 pounds to become who I became.
Yeah, but that was coming from Moses, who you knew was a...
So clearly, the Sixers coaching staff and guys like that haven't been on this case enough. See, if you had a coach like a Billy Cunningham or something like that, Billy would say, you come in here early and you stay late. I don't know if the Sixers coaching staff got the courage to do that. So, no, Ben... Practice starts at 10. We want you here at 9. You're going to shoot. You don't have to go and shoot 5 hours, but you're going to shoot for a half an hour before practice, after practice, every day. I don't know if the Sixers coaching staff, Billy Cunningham, like, guarantee if Billy Cunningham coached him, he would.
Yeah, but Charles, you know the player of today. The player today is raised as a king.
I know, but the king, listen, even the kings, somebody got to say something to this kid, man. He don't even look at the basket. He's afraid to shoot the basketball.
He is, and he's afraid to shoot it because he knows he's not that good at it. So what makes you think he's going to break through?
Well, Magic Johnson made himself a good shooter. Magic Johnson made himself a good shooter. So Michael Jordan made himself a great shooter. Mid-range jump shooter, great shooter. But think about it. When Magic Johnson first came to the NBA, he couldn't shoot a lick.
Charles, I get all that. I get all that. I'm just talking about this kind of personality. This kid has been... he had a documentary produced about himself before he even got to the NBA.
Well, that's why I think the coaching staff has got to step in at some point and say, we're going to coach you.
All right.
Because you're going to... let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get us fired.
No, I get it, and I'm sure that they have tried to do that.
You're the coach.
Well,
it's your team.
But Brett Brown has known the family, known the kid for a long time. Brett Brown's not going to throw down a hammer on this kid.
You know what Brett Brown's going to be doing if he don't throw down the hammer? He's going to be packing his stuff up. He's going to be moving back to Australia. Because, unfortunately, you know, I like Brett Brown, but unfortunately, the way this thing works today, at some point, he gonna get fired unless they break through and at least make it to the finals. That's just the way this thing works. You know, they're not gonna keep improving the team every year and not getting to the finals at least.
Mm-hmm.
So, if Brett, at some point, I'm gonna say, you know, this dude gonna get me fired. I'm gonna, cause he gonna get fired if he don't make him better. And I said the same thing about Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid gets mad at me. He's got to get in shape. You know, and I understand he's injury prone and he's a big dude. He's got to start eating better. He's got to get in the swimming pool and start swimming a lot. Like, you know, you think I liked hearing I was fat and lazy when Moses told me that? He's like, Charles, you're fat and you're lazy. And because, you know, you can play overweight. Like, I played at 300 pounds in college, between 295 and 300. But when I got to the NBA, you can't play in the NBA that big. I lost 50 pounds. I played at 250 in my entire NBA career, but I played in college at 300 pounds. Moses was the only person man enough to say, yo, dude, you're fat and lazy.
Yeah, I just don't see that, man. Let me take you into this other area, because Jimmy Butler, I know you think this team is better, and I'm not sure they aren't either, but I've got some concerns. The guy who would take the big shot is gone. And that was Jimmy Butler. So who takes the big shot now? Do they have enough? I know defensively they're going to be great, but do they have enough at the end of the game that somebody's going to make? Who's the shot maker?
Well, I think first of all, your best player, which is Embiid, the ball should go through him. If he just get his big butt off the 3-point line and get on the box, nobody can guard him on the box. He just frustrates me when he starts floating out there on 3-point line. So he's the best player. Listen, I think Tobias Harris is better than you think he is. I think, you know, he kind of got lost because he was the number four guy. That guy was a hell of a player. A lot of people liked him before he got here. He just got stuck being the fourth option.
You trust him to be the shot maker?
Well, then you got Al Horford, who's made big shots his whole career. Come on, man.
He's made the medium range jump shot. I'm talking about the dagger, long range jumper. Hey,
you mean the guy who won the championship who didn't shoot any threes, who just won the championship with a bunch of role players?
Who are you talking about, Kawhi?
Yeah, he shot
some threes.
No, he shot all mid range.
Yeah, but he's like one of the top two players in the league. The Sixers don't have that.
Well, listen, what are you expecting from Embiid and Ben Simmons?
I don't expect any jump shots from Ben Simmons. Well, I don't have the faith in it.
Mike, he's going to get better. Dude, I think sometimes we aren't patient enough. Ben Simmons is like 21 years old.
I get it.
We can't rush a 21. Listen, would you fair to say the Sixers are ahead or we thought they'd be 2 or 3 years ago?
Yes.
They were one bounce from being in the finals. And probably, think about this. And all I know is all hindsight and hypothetical. Uh-huh. They are one bounce from being in the finals and probably one bounce from winning the championship.
Right, with Butler.
But listen, I'm telling you, first of all, they're going to be all right.
All right, listen, I'm trusting you. You played in the league. You're in the Hall of Fame. I'm trusting you. Here's what I know. The Golden State Warriors for those years, they won with that great defense, but what else?
Well, first of all, here you go being sadly mistaken again, because everybody thinks they won because the KD came over. That's the reason.
No,
they won.
I'm telling you, they won. They made 3-point shots with the defense.
Hey, Mike, look at the stats. There's seven teams, and this is how stupid the NBA is. This is how I know these guys ain't rocket scientists. They're dumb as rocks. The Warriors got three of the greatest shooters who ever lived. The top two for sure, and maybe KD is just a great scorer. So they got three of the greatest scorers who ever lived. There are seven teams in the NBA shoot more threes than the Warriors. Seven teams. That tell you how dumb some of these coaches and general managers are. Kawhi Leonard just won the championship shooting mid-range jumpers. I wish guys, yeah, the Golden State Warriors had that one magical year where they made threes. Then they realized, like, yeah, you know, we probably can't live by threes. Now they're number eight in the entire NBA of shooting threes. And you just saw Kawhi Leonard, who shot more twos.
I get it, Charles. The Toronto Raptors won with Tenacious D and a great go-to player. That's the only thing I'm asking here. Who's the go-to player that the Sixers have now? You think it's going to be Tobias? I hope you're right.
Well, no, I'm saying Tobias. I think he's going to make some plays, just like a Fred VanVleet did, like a Marc Gasol did.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, they got enough, man.
All right.
They got enough.
You know, and whatever
what up,
they,
bro?
Whatever they,
what up, bro? Is right.
I love him. I do. I love Charles. Whatever they don't have, they can get at the deadline or buyouts.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think that's
hard part's taken care of.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, I can't wait. When's their schedule come out? August.
I'm looking forward to that too. It's funny you said that. I'm like, what's going to happen Christmas Day?
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing.
I love, that's right, Christmas Day.
I wonder if they actually go through with the, if they actually go through with the paring down the schedule.
The team's good now, so I almost hope not.
So if they go down, like, but if they, think about this for 1 second. If the NBA goes down to like 58 games and they run a tournament, could you get, would this interest you? If you did, all right, say you're going to have every NBA team. You're going to have a team from, like, a couple teams from China, Brazil, you know, a couple South American
Lithuanian.
Teams.
Lithuanian.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
You got your Euro contingency, and it all adds up to, say you get to, because you're going to use all the NBA teams, and you're going to have, so that, say you did an NCAA tournament, one win and you're done over 3 weeks.
Like a field of 32?
Yeah, I was going to say 64.
Yeah, you can't fill out enough good teams to do that.
No, but you're going to have half the teams are going to be NBA teams, and then the other half are going to be from around the world.
Well, who's going to select who the NBA teams are?
No, every NBA
every team.
Every NBA team.
Oh, okay, okay. So you're going to go 30.
And you just play one game.
Well, some teams play one game.
All right, but it's NCAA tournament
and they seed
style.
It, Selection Sunday?
Yeah.
All right,
here's my one concern with that.
Yeah.
Obviously, teams are going to be rather winning the NBA championship than this tournament.
Right.
So what if a good team is like, oh, we're going to lose on purpose in this tournament and then
take the rest.
And then get 3 weeks off.
Yeah, I don't know.
You do it in 10 days.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You're only playing, I mean, you're playing six games if you win it.
Yeah.
So you're playing two games a week. You're gonna be all like, what's the big deal? So you're gonna play two games.
Doing 12 days.
If you you could do it over 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean that's
but
not
if
a problem.
You did it over 3 weeks, where that's your break. I mean that's kind of interesting.
I think the only problem I have with it is like the best players from certain countries are in the NBA,
right?
So they can't play for their country.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you could do, like the NHL did that thing, that World Cup of Hockey a couple of years ago, and they had Team Europe, where it wasn't just one country. It was Team Europe.
Yeah, but
so that they could compete. Then they did an under 21 team.
But isn't that, that's what's going on
that'd
now.
Be cool.
But that's USA basketball. I mean, that's the Olympics.
Yeah.
But they already do that.
Like, I'd love to see a team of just guys that are under 22 years old. Or 23 for the NBA.
Well, but I guess I'm looking at...
That was like Team North America, if you recall.
But I'm looking at, like, if you played it, if you did an NCAA tournament and did this field of 64, or I don't know, field of 48. Let's cut that, right? The field of 48. I don't know. And then go let the foreign guys play for their country.
So you let them out of there and then they can play again? Well... don't know. There's a lot of logistics there. What if you just did a tournament of...
Oh, you do the same thing. The regions. You have the region. Like, instead, like if you're going to do a soccer type of cup, why not meld the soccer idea with your own NCAA tournament, have regions, you know, the East region, West region, you know, and you got games going on, and you do it where it'd be kind of awesome. They all play during the day.
I like, how about this idea? Let me run this
by. But it's, you know, it's just like the NCAA tournament, the way you play. Tyrone, you wouldn't like that? You're out?
Here's my idea. Make 10 teams and find,
what do you say?
10 captains.
Said no tournament, I'm out.
Well, what if you did this, Ant? You come up with 10 captains.
You creep.
Guys from around the world. And they have to, and every player in the NBA, anybody that can dribble a freaking basketball is eligible. And you draft a team. They all draft a team. Like Team Philly. Billy Cunningham's the GM. I don't know. Right? And they do a lottery system, and he drafts LeBron James. You make these teams up. Because you see your players playing with different players. You know what I mean? You just mix it all up into one pie.
I don't mind that. But again, I still want...
Best of three rounds.
But I still want a tournament style.
Yes, it's tournament. It's four rounds, best of three each series.
No, there's no series. I just want one and done.
One and done? Okay.
Like NCAA tournament.
Okay, let's do that.
How many teams? Can you get 48 teams?
No, because it's logistically drafting for 48 teams and 10 players.
I want China. I want South America.
Team China?
It'd be great to see AI. AI.
You can draft retired players.
AI's on a squad.
Yeah. Stephon Marbury laces him up again.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, for China, because he's got residency over.
There's got to be a way where you can do an NCAA tournament style. If they're hell-bent on doing that, I would love to watch a mid-season tournament. That would be fun.
Just make every NBA team do the field of 32. And just seed them based on where they are right now. Make your regions and everything. And it's one and done. Because a 16 seed in the NBA can beat a number one seed in one game. Golden State gets knocked out by, you know, whoever.
Yeah, no. I think you got to add the international element to it.
So you want to, and the NBA is going to want to do that as well because it's an international game.
Yeah, I want the international piece.
I know who Jason would be rooting for.
Manny, look at it. Pelican, fly. Come on, Pelican.
Fly, Pelican. Good job on getting that drop, Andrew. I got to put that on my board.
Great.
Fly, every time they win this year, you're going to hear Tony.
Hello. Manny, look at it. Pelican, fly. Come on, Pelican.
He's in the big hot tub smoking a big stick.
Yeah, that's the best.
That scene.
That's a great scene.
Come over here, you bubblehead. That's what he called her. He called her bubblehead.
Bubblehead.
Michelle Pfeiffer, of all people. 610-632-0975. Coming up
your
top of the hour.
Room is so polluted.
Yeah. Don't get high on your own supply. Bring the heat. Coming up on the Midday Show. It's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. How many cans of Raid does it take to kill cockroaches? Ants. And other forms of unwanted pests, Natalie. Skeevy. The answer is zero. For every cockroach and ant you spray, every mousetrap you set, there are thousands more hiding in places you can't reach or see. Oh, this is not a do-it-yourself job, folks. For unwanted pests, you need an expert. That's why you need to trust Expel. Expel Exterminating. Expel works with top-rated restaurants, multi-housing management companies in Philadelphia, all throughout the region. All right, places that can't afford to have a bug be seen. They get rid of them. Now, they're bringing their expertise to your home. Expel's technicians, all state licensed, trained. They have the best warranties and prices in the market, sometimes 50% less than their competitors, to get rid of bed bugs and termites and roaches and ants and rodents and wildlife and all other skeevy pests. Call 877-BUG-FREE. That's 877-BUG-FREE. Or go to expel1.com. That's expel the number one. .com. Expel Exterminating bugs you, bugs us that.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Tyrone, sit down, please. We're going to pitch, you and I are going to pitch Jason on something.
Mr. NBA?
Because I love this idea. But first, Andrew, you got some, Judas?
Yeah, this is from Kyle Newbeck of the Philly Voice.
Yes, Kyle, sure.
So let me read this first paragraph for you, all right? While public number crunching has suggested the Sixers can create and or use roughly $7.7 million in cap space to fill out the rest of their roster, the Sixers have roughly $2.2 million in cap space with which to lure a free agent or free agents to their team, Philly Voice has learned after discussions with sources familiar with their position. So originally we thought they were in the $7 million range.
Right, well, and they're in the $2 million range.
Okay, I was told that all they got left is minimum roster spots. So I guess that whatever they said minimum has to be minimum guys. So I guess that would fit.
Yesterday when some of those guys were signing for $8 million, right. They were saying, well,
the exception, yeah. Right.
Yeah, and they only had half of the mid-level exception apparently. And they had that other, what was the door? I forget what it's called. What's the other exception called?
Room exception.
Yeah, the room exception.
That's every other year.
And that was 4.5.
Everything Elton said at the draft makes more sense now about why they didn't want to load up on the second round picks and stuff.
It cleared them dollars out.
Yeah, because they don't apply now, but what would happen is if they liked the kid and they tried to sign him to the roster, then they count. Like they may end up doing with Shake Milton, for example, who's not counting right now. Since he may make the team, he would then count for $500,000 or whatever it would be.
And they all signed a two-way deal.
Right.
You know. All right, so Jason, we're going to pitch you, because during the break, I was like, I got to get Tyrone on my side.
Yeah.
Because I know.
Because he was out on the tournament when we left.
He was out on the tournament. And I know that he loves the game.
Yep, he just wants to see it in any form.
So I'm thinking, there's got to be a way. So we were going back and forth, right? And I go, yes. You know, there's got to be a way where we could come up with something. So you and I put this together, and now you love it.
I absolutely love it.
Now, all right, what have you developed?
Now, first, let's go over the dates real fast so that it all makes sense.
Now, this
everybody.
Is a calendar out here. For those people just joining us, you remember the NBA's toyed with paring the season down to 58 games.
Yep.
They want to run like a soccer style tournament. So our idea is, all right, let's combine the soccer style cup thing with our own NCAA tournament.
Like the Euro Cup. But having it
meets the NCAA tournament.
All right, two great tournaments.
So, Ty, we're going to have. Here's what we came up with.
Yeah.
We got all NBA teams.
So they're all in. So all 30 teams are in. So those are 30 of the participants in this tournament.
Okay.
We're going to go with 48. We got 48 squads.
Okay, so you got to fill 18 more spots.
Yeah, and we got leagues, right, Ty? Yep. From Italy, Lithuania, Greece, Turkey, Israel, Africa, Russia. We got China, we got France, we got Brazil, Argentina, and Australia.
Okay.
And with all those, we're going to come up with 18 squads.
Yeah, because what you would do is the stronger leagues, like the Israeli league, you might take two guys, two teams for that. You might take two from China or three.
Yeah.
You would jump around. You'd be able to figure it out.
Yep.
You go through FIFA. You figure out a way.
They can field the most competitive.
Right.
Okay.
So everybody, all those countries were guaranteed to get one. Some would get two or three. They might just get the previous year's champion.
Right.
Gotcha. But some of them would get a couple. Now.
All right.
So that's how you would fill it out. So you get to 48. Now, it would be over 3 weeks, and this is why.
All right.
So I'm looking at the 2020 calendar. The Super Bowl will be February 2nd.
Yeah.
So you have a couple weeks off. President's Day weekend, the weekend before President's Day, is always NBA All-Star weekend.
Eagles parade will be on the 5th or 6th. All right. Good.
So now you have 1 week of rest, and now the tournament starts somewhere around President's Day, the 17th.
Okay.
Because the 15th and 16th would be the NBA All-Star weekend anyway.
Yeah.
So you go 3 weeks. So look at how it lines up. 17th, 24th is 1 week. The 2nd of March is 2 weeks. The 9th or the 8th would be 3 weeks.
The 8th is Selection Sunday, right?
Exactly. So all right. Your final
how
for
awesome
this tournament
is this?
In the daytime, a little earlier in the day, is your finals of your tournament.
All right.
It's the Sixers versus whoever it may be.
Lakers.
Whoever it may be.
Lithuania.
And then right after that, Selection Sunday.
Oh, so you roll right into the Selection
right.
Sunday process.
And then, that Tuesday's playing game, and Thursday, Friday's the start of the NCAA tournament. So, from President's Day the 17th, roughly, to the first Monday it'll be this year, the special year, because it would be March 30th, there would be nothing but tournament. Sudden
okay.
death for six
outrageous.
Nothing but sudden death.
Okay, now you're taking 3 weeks out of an NBA season. How is this going to affect the NBA calendar? Are you still starting your NBA season when it starts now, and just the finals are going to end at the end of June?
Well, again,
usually it's just a 1 week All-Star break.
I think they start a little later in November, maybe Thanksgiving.
Maybe Thanksgiving. You can turn
start
Thanksgiving.
The NBA. Okay.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. So it's later, and it's still
maybe Black Friday. Maybe.
Actually, I would still start. I'd start the thing, and honestly, I'd start a Christmas Day.
Now, the only reason I would agree, but with the 59, they don't want to do any back-to-backs.
Yeah.
And if you start at Christmas Day, you would have to have back-to-backs.
Well, I want to run it into August.
They don't want to change that clock for. Because then you step on the other international thing with the FIFA and all that stuff, which is coming up.
All right, just don't mess with Thanksgiving because that's football.
All right.
December 1, it all begins.
However it's sandwiched.
It's 58, too. I forgot about that aspect.
No, but whatever sandwich it is. But the point is, you got a tournament and a tournament. We go with pro tournament, the world's tournament.
Yep.
To the NCAA tournament.
The World Cup of basketball, basically, is what it is.
6 weeks of sudden death. So every game is must see because it's win or go home every single time.
Okay.
For six consecutive weeks.
The Hornets playing the French League.
Right.
All-Stars.
Right.
French League.
It goes down to the buzzer. The new whoever their starting point guard is going to be. Oh, it'll be Rozier makes a buzzer beater.
Okay.
And now they advance.
Now tell me not going to loan.
Okay. Hey, this is a great idea.
I'm liking it.
And
now I got to come up with venue.
Real quick, tell them what the other part of the idea is. It helps for the draft.
Right. So you got
so you can see the Euro players all over so against NBA players, mind you.
And the way the rules would work is, obviously, any player that hadn't been drafted yet is eligible. But if you do a draft and stash, and that player goes back to their home country to play, they're eligible to play in this tournament. So
for their country, not for your team.
Right, for their country. So
like Dario could have played for the Turkish team.
Right, so then you would get to see him. So now think about the player that isn't drafted yet. You're hearing all this buzz, but you can't see him play. You've seen this kid play at least once, but maybe you've seen him play 2-3 times in person or on TV, and now you know, oh, that's the guy?
Yeah.
Gotcha, for example.
And he can get his shot off against NBA players, the whole thing.
Before Jonah Bolden came over, you would have seen, okay, he's not great, but he can run the floor, and he might be able to make a three.
Let's give you more knowledge.
You have knowledge of the players.
And how we're going to do it is we're going to have, instead of 16-team regions, we're going to have 12-team regions.
Yeah. You're going to pare it down.
And the regions, and we'll pick out sites for the regionals.
Okay, so you'll have, but you have the world to pick.
Right.
So you could, like, the first week would be the ideally the time to go overseas.
Well, we may do a Euro region and send, you know, three NBA or half a dozen NBA teams to Europe.
Yeah, you can't put all the NBA in one thing.
And you probably do it by standing. So if you're a good team like the Sixers, you're staying close to home. You won't go further than Washington, D.C., New York, et cetera. But a lesser team
could end up in China.
Yeah, you might have to go over
No, are you kidding me? And by the way, you sell this to TV package to the world. Well, you make a fortune. You're on the right at Nike. Oh, come on, Ty. This is brilliant.
Well, here's the other part. Leading into the tournament, you have to have a buffer of a few days off because of that travel situation. And after, you have to have a buffer. So you add an extra week.
Well, I don't need quite a week because
three on the front, three on the back.
But usually what happens is they'll stop playing. In 2020, they'll stop playing about the 13th.
Okay.
And start playing it. And then the tournament, let's say, starts President's Day 17th. That gives everybody 4 days to get into location.
Yeah.
That should be enough. The tournament ends on the 8th. and everybody restarts on that Friday the 13th.
All right, is there compensation involved?
Oh, my God, I love it.
Of course there's compensation, but that comes from the sponsors. This was also collectively bargained to play less than 82 games and to not have back-to-backs.
Right.
You
have
to sacrifice.
This is the give back.
This is part of your salary.
Part of your deal. But winning, always, just like if you win a dunk contest, you get money.
Yeah.
The All-Star game, what do you do? Get money for that. That's all. You get certain compensation. You win this whole thing. Hey, man, what if everybody on the team gets $1 million for winning it?
Yeah, well,
think about that.
Yeah.
Think about that.
So well, Jimmy doesn't care about money, though.
Yeah, Jimmy doesn't, but Shaq Milton does.
Yes, he does.
And if they do decide to sit and beat or somebody like that or Ben Simmons, Shaq's going to play really hard to double it, triple his
salary. I like the idea that the winner gets $1 million apiece. And the loser gets $500,000 apiece.
There you go. So that
and so then, there's incentive to get there.
And imagine a Euro guy who may never make the league. Look how hard they're going to play to get that $1 million.
It's going to be outrageous.
He's going to play that hard just to be spotted.
That's what I mean.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.